This is Alfred Wag, your commentator. After the tragic death of Mahatma Gandhi, India's foremost modern political and spiritual leader in January 1948, Gandhi became an acclaimed saint to 400 millions in India and many more millions around the world. In an extemporaneous speech in New Delhi, India, during the spring of 1947, this man of peace spoke out from his heart, giving us a last message in English. As we bring you Mahatma Gandhi, he is sitting cross-legged on a huge cotton-covered divan, and now Mrs. Sarojini Naidu, India's premier poetess, is introducing Mahatma Gandhi.
And now I am going to request the father of our nation, the apostle of love and truth and non-violence, to give us his benediction.
Madam President and friends, I do not think that I should apologize to you for having to speak in a foreign tongue. I wonder if this loudspeaker carries my voice to the farthest end of this vast audience.
Mahatma Gandhi was convinced that the East gave the West such philosophy and wisdom as the West can claim. He felt that the wisdom of the East had been badly used in the West, especially the West which produced the atom bomb, and that it was high time that the East prepare itself to bring forth a new message, not only to the West, but to the whole world. Otherwise, Gandhi felt, the whole world would perish. And now we listen to Gandhi's own words on this subject.
Wisdom came to the West from the East. And who are these wise men? Zoroaster. They belong to the East. He was followed by Buddha. He belonged to the East. He belonged to India. Who followed Buddha? Jesus. Again from Asia. Before Jesus was Musa, Moses, also belonging to Palestine. Though, God, I was just checking myself through Bashar Khan. Certainly, the carnage that is going on before your very eyes, sorry, shameful. As I said yesterday, you have to bury it here. Don't carry the memory of that carnage beyond the confines of India. But what I want you to understand, if you can, that the message of the East, the message of Asia, is not to be learned through European spectacles, through the Western spectacles, not by imitating the pencil of the West, the gunpowder of the West, the atom bomb of the West. If you want to give a message again to the West, it must be a message of love. It must be a message of truth. There must be a conquest, please, that will interfere with my speech and that will interfere with your understanding also. I want to capture your hearts and don't want to receive your claps. Let your hearts clap in unison with what I'm saying, and I think I shall have finished my work. Therefore, I want you to go away with the thought that Asia has to conquer the West. Then the question that a friend asked yesterday, did I believe in one world? Of course I believe in one world. And how can I possibly do otherwise? Then I become an inheritor of the message of love that these great unconquerable teachers left for us. You can re-deliver that message now in this age of democracy, in the age of awakening of the poorest of the poor. You can re-deliver this message with the greatest emphasis. Then you will complete the conquest of the whole of the West, not through vengeance, because you have been exploited. And in the exploitation, of course, I want to include Africa. And I hope that when next you meet in India, you will, all the exploited nations of the earth will meet, if by that time there are any exploited nations of the earth.
For Mahatma Gandhi, the humble, the poor of India were his chief concern. Now we hear him speaking of the Bhangis, India's lowly folk.
If you really want to see India at its best, you have to find it in a Bhangi cottage, in a humble Bhangi home. Of such villages, so the English historians teach us, are 700,000. A few cities here and there, they don't hold several crores of people, but the 700,000 villages do hold nearly 40 crores of people. I say nearly because you may take away 1 crore perhaps. They need 2 crores in the cities, still there will be 38 crores. And then I said to myself, if these friends go away without finding their true India, what will they have come? I then thought that I would beseech you to imagine this India, not from this vast audience, but to imagine what it would be like. Then I would like you to read a story such as this brilliant story of hatred or other things. See, perhaps some of you, a few villages of India, then you will find real India. Today, I will make this admission also, that you will not be fascinated by the sight. You will have then to scratch down below the dung heaps that the villages are today. I don't pretend to say that they were ever places of paradise, but today they are really dung heaps. They were not like that before, of that I'm quite sure. But that I speak not from history, but from what I have seen myself with my physical eyes of India, and I have traveled from one end of India to the other, seeing these villages, seeing the miserable specimens of humanity, lusterless eyes, and yet they are India. And yet in those humble cottages, in the midst of those dung heaps, are to become the humble Bhangis, where you will find concentrated essence of wisdom.
That wisdom came from Asia to the Atlantic civilization, to the Western world, is confirmed by Mahatma Gandhi in his own reaction.
Then what happened? Christianity became disfigured when it went to the West. I'm sorry to have to say that, but that is my opinion.
Statesmen around the world have paid tribute to Mahatma Gandhi as a great spiritual force and as a prime mover for peace. I knew him as a deeply human fellow being who could talk understandingly and with the most humble of his people. He had a sense of humor that carried him through the most searing periods of his life, during those long battles for India's freedom, when he fought for the untouchables. And now we listen to Mahatma Gandhi's formula for peace.
That if all of you put your hearts together, not merely your heads, but hearts together, and and understand the secret of the messages of all these wise men of the East has left to us. And if we really become deserved, worthy of that that great message, then you will easily understand that the conquest of the West will be completed, and that conquest will be loved by the West itself. West is today pining for wisdom. West today is despairing of multiplication of atom bombs, because a multiplication of atom bombs means utter destruction, not merely of the West, but it will be a destruction of the world, as if the prophecy of the Bible is going to be fulfilled and there is to be a perfect deluge. Heaven forbid that there will be that deluge. And through man's wrong against himself, it is up to you to deliver the whole world, not merely Asia, but deliver the whole world from that wickedness, from that sin. That is precious heritage your teachers, my teachers, have left to us.